And welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron. We're bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're bringing back the Indie Spotlight. It's been a bit. There's no MLW this week. Don't have any interviews in the can. So, giving the spotlight to independent wrestling promotions out across the world. More on that. But first, of course, we have the news. The latest and the greatest from MLW is, at the time of this recording, it's 2 days, but by the time you get to hear about it, it's either A, already happened because you're lame and you didn't hear this when it dropped, or B, tomorrow, Once Upon a Time in New York, the latest YouTube special by MLW is going to be happening 7 p.m.-ish, probably, I don't know, didn't look at that part of it, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. There we go. I had to get my notes out for that. What? I have notes? Might as well start using them if I do, huh? 10 p.m. Eastern Time? That's kind of late. However, it's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on BN Sports. It is free to the world as long as you got one of those two platforms. But, like, let's face it, everybody's got themselves a YouTube. We got a full card to be had. Six-man scramble, Ichiban versus Love Doug versus Brett Ryan Goslin versus Marcus Mathers versus Cannonball versus Dylan McKay. Crazy Go Nuts action. The newest acquisition for the World Titan Federation. And excuse me, Selena De La Renta's promotion is Dorado. Latest acquisition for her, Bad Dude Tito is in action. Number one contendership for the Featherweight Championship as Del Miexo battles the Federette Zeta. Star Jr., presented by Selena De La Renta, will take on Magnus with Cesar Duran. Cesar Duran will also give us Azteca Lucha State of the Union Address. Hope it's good because in May there's an Azteca Lucha card, just saying. Cozy Max and Alex Kane take on the World Titan Federation superstars represented by Tom Lawler, Josh Bishop, and Richard Holiday, and a fast food breakfast sandwich will take on Davey Boy Smith Jr. So that's the entire card for YouTube this here Saturday. On the other hand, we got a batch of news coming to War Chamber. And War Chamber, that is going to be March 29th in Tampa, Florida. Triller TV exclusive. Going to be crazy go nuts on that one. The Coliseum in Tampa, Florida, to be exact, for that. But we got a bunch of news coming out of that. The card is rounding up, and I'm assuming we'll kind of get the final pieces put in place, at least visually, at Once Upon a Time in New York. Star Jr. is going to be in action. It's also been announced that there will be two War Chamber events. That is the MLW equivalent to War Games. This is the first time that two War Chamber matches will be taking place. One will be taking part of the main card, and the other will be on the Be In Sports YouTube special. Those matches are going to be specifically the Calling and the Response will be on Be In Sports, while the Second Gear Crew and Cozy Max taking on the WTF group will be on the main card. For those of you who aren't aware what of water games are, that is two teams of four or five, depending on where you're at and what time it is, battle in two rings that are surrounded by a steel cage. If you're doing the real thing, it's got a top on it, so you can't actually escape the ring. If you're doing WWE, there's no top, extra wide corners, so you can dive off of it. But if you actually leave the cage, you're disqualified. But no one cares about that. That ain't the real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Two teams. One member per team starts off the party at the end of an indeterminate time frame, usually 2 minutes or so. 5 minutes, maybe 2 minutes. Usually five for once, you know, the odds are even. There's a coin flip, and a member of a team comes in. That team will have the advantage for 2 minutes. Then the other member of the team will come in, and they'll continue this process until everyone's come in. The match can only end after everybody has entered the set of cage. Two rings in that cage. I was about to call it like set of cages, but it's really one cage, two rings. So yeah, crazy go nuts. Two War Chamber matches. I accidentally called that, and actually accidentally called the specific teams on the Urban Wrestling Network earlier this month. In addition to the two War Chamber matches. Timothy Thatcher makes his return to MLW. Jinai Kai will be battling Unagi Sayaka for the Featherweight Championship. Just announced, Alex Kane will be battling Flop Dalla himself, AJ Francis. And Star Jr. will be in action. So War Chamber is shaping up nicely. We got like 2 weeks before that pops up. But of course, first we got our final battle of New York in Once Upon a Time in New York. All right, now that I got through that, almost as good as Excalibur. I didn't quite call it that fast, and you know, there's a good chance he's got a script in front of him that he's power reading too, instead of just making things up like he's a professional or something. I am not. Just say it. Just a beardo on the internet is what I am, and that's all I can be at this point in time. But the important thing is I'm bringing you MLW news, and this week, bringing the spotlight, giving back to the independent wrestling community, because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, without the independent wrestling community, AEW and the WWE really have nothing to stand on, because, you know, you got a bunch of green trainees otherwise. If you're not stealing people from Japan or, you know, calling up people from Florida and all that sort of good stuff. This week, we are going to the great state of Indiana. We are going to check out Battle Arts. They have a television program, well, YouTube program, called Unleashed. I should probably grab that note over here now, because we're transitioning to that. We are going to be watching episode number 27. In the meanwhile, though, Battle Arts, as I said, is a company out of Indiana. According to their website, they're kind of a non-profit wrestling organization, unlike most wrestling organizations that are not profit because they are not turning a profit. Wrestle Arts is actually kind of a charitable organization, giving back to the community the funds that it receives, in addition to putting on professional wrestling shows. So it's cool to see someone giving back, actually giving back to the community, unlike me who just says I'm doing it. But that's Wrestle Arts, the charitable arm of professional wrestling. As I said, they have a YouTube show called Unleashed. They're currently on episode 27 at the time of this here recording, or at least that's the episode I watched, and that was the latest when I pulled up Battle Arts. So let's take ourselves a brief break, and let's talk some wrestling, shall we? I'll be back un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. It is time for Wrestle Arts Unleashed, number 27. We have a disembodied voice running down tonight's card. Looks like we got three matches tonight, starting off with a promo from Jeffrey John. He is the Babushka Baron. Oh, the Beer Baron's got himself some competition in the form of babushkas, ladies and gentlemen. He notes that, like, he's back. He's coming back to Battle Arts, and he's going to go after Jordan Dye. Those two have history, and he's looking to put the final chapter on that tonight. So that is our first match. Jeffrey John, the Babushka Baron, who is very over with the crowd, by the way, taking on Jordan Dye with Dylan Cole and a Miss Larkin. Lots of shtick, like, going on with this. Luckily, though, since there's so much shtick and the match hasn't started yet, we get to the introduction of our commentary team, Jeff Edge and Taylor McAllister. So that's always a perk. I do love people referencing who they are to start the party of each episode, especially when it comes to like the commentary team, because it's kind of a lost art in this day and age of YouTube, and you can just get whatever you want. But as I said, lots of stalling. John is very over with the crowd. He's really trying to pump up the crowd with various chants to get under Dye's skin. But when the bell does ring, we get an extensive feeling out process that eventually just forces Dye to take a powder, rolls to the floor, takes a minute to talk to his cohorts outside the ring, comes back in, starts off with a disrespect with a spit to the face and a long headlock. set. However, John hits a bunch of shoulder tackles, taking Dai down, following up with a tornado DDT. Dai rolls to the floor. At this point, it just dawned on me that the ring sounds like a snare drum. I don't know, what they did with it. I mean, the rings are usually pretty loud, just in general. But this one, really sounded like they're, playing Saint Anger or something in the meanwhile. That's a Metallica reference for those of you who've only listened to Master of Puppets. Anywho, as I said, so Dai rolls out to the floor. John goes out to the floor, and there's a bunch of interference going on as Miss Larkin is used as a meat shield. Cole tries to get involved. He gets punched in his face, but this allows Dai to jump our Babushka Baron from behind. Sneak attack, Russian leg sweep against the ring. That couldn't have felt great. Go in the ring, and Dai maintains control with various slams. And when that doesn't seem to work, Cole runs some distraction as well. We get a Chicago Crab, inverted Boston Crab locked in. He gets kicked off, but follows it up with a butterfly suplex for two, does Dai. Dai is firmly in control, but goes for too many shoulder tackles in the corner, which leads to a spine buster by John. Dai rolls out of the ring in tope con ilo. However, that misses Dai technically, but he takes out Cole. John takes out Cole, so it's all good. It's all good. But that distraction comes back again. Cole's on the ring apron, gets donked in the head, allowing Dai to hit a regalplex. Only gets two with Yebu strike battle, spirit battle, if you will, in the center of the ring. Springboard cutter and a back suplex bomb. Only gets two for John. Dai is sent into Miss Larkin, who, in the meanwhile, sneakily passes brass nux into Dai. Dai, however, eats an attitude adjustment for his efforts at first. John goes to the top rope, but he is intercepted by Cole, who gets a fireman's carry off the top to the middle of the ring. He rolls out. This allows Dai the opportunity to wake himself up, go to the ropes, and dink Mr. John in the face with the brass nux. Poor Jeffrey gets dinked in the face with the brass nux. Finley roll off the top, or second rope technically, Green Bay plunge, for those of you who remember that sort of thing. Rolling fireman's carry off the middle rope. That gets Dai the three count. Your winner, Jordan Dai. Fun match, solid opener between two competitors. I will say, despite me not being terribly familiar with Jeffrey John, he is over like Rover with the crowd. Got like a bunch of babushkas in the crowd and like some ladies screaming her head off at the loss. So, did their jobs well, got the crowd going for this television opener. I'm not sure if that was the opener at the taping or not, because they looked to do a big event and then break that down into the television style tapings. As I said, really good match to be had. Great way to start off the show in this here podcaster's humble opinion. We next have a brief ring entrance for Zodiac the Mystic. His hand is on fire because that's what you do when you're a mystic, is light your hand on fire. He gets on the mic. He rattles on about Hoodfoot, that they used to be tight. Now they're not tight. Now they're fighting. He keeps throwing out there, tell me when I'm lying. So somebody's trying to leech off the popularity of CM Punk and a couple of his shoot work promos, Brother Jack dude. However, despite all this smack talk of Hoodfoot, he is not here, but a dude named David Ali comes out, and he is willing to take up the torch for Hoodfoot and lays down the challenge for tonight. Zodiac's okay, you're not Hoodfoot, but let's have a fight. So, guess we're going to have a match. That's what we're doing. We are now having a match. Zodiac the Mystic takes on David Ali. Feeling out hold exchange. Got lots of waist lock attempts and all that sort of good stuff. Shoulder blocks, however, are not effective against the much larger Zodiac. Though, two roll-up attempts by Ali are a bit better. At least, it causes Zodiac to, get rolled up. goes to the ground with that one. However, Zodiac is much larger than David Ali, sends him to the arena floor where they're going to has brawl for a bit after a botched dive by Ali. And by botched, I mean he dove successfully into the waiting arms of Zodiac. However, Zodiac kind of caught him, and slammed him into the ring post. This is where it is officially announced that there is a 20 count in WrestleArt, which is fine because it didn't come into play in the last match all that much. But we has brawl outside the ring until Zodiac punches the ring post. However, that doesn't slow him down for long because he remains control as the two enter the ring. Ali makes a comeback until his head is taken off with a lariat. I'm pretty sure Stan Hansen felt that lariat. That's how hard Zodiac hit David Ali. Avalanche side slam by the Zodiac gets a two count. That was a big move by a big dude coming off the ropes like that. Zodiac applies an iron claw like right next to the ropes. But guess what? Ali got to the ropes somehow because he was right next to it. Poor ring awareness, as I would say if this was a video game and I was doing ringside commentary. Instead, I'm doing commentary in my mother's basement because I haven't shaved my neck in 5 days, but I got a hot tub filled with pizza rolls, and that's the important thing. Anywho, Ali mounts a comeback with a diving clothesline, and a diving European uppercut, gets two off of that. Then he thinks he's Claudio Castagnoli and goes for multiple charging European uppercuts in the corner, but Zodiac's like, nah, son, and just starts tossing Ali around. Finally, Ali gets caught up in the ropes, and Zodiac just starts teeing off on him, finishing off with a bunch of headbutts to the lower back. The referee's applying the five count. No go, man. We're not letting go of this. Disqualification. At least so we think. The bell rings. A bunch of refs come in. Before we get the official notification, the Zodiac continues his assault of David Ali, looks to be going for a powerbomb or a pile driver. However, Ali fires up out of that. He tries to mount a post-match comeback, but the Zodiac hits a big sidewalk slam, black hole slam if you will. Teases going for the heart punch, which is his big finish, but instead shakes the young lion's hand. This is when we get our announcement that due to the disqualification, your winner is David Ali. And I thought this match was quite fun too. The usual kind of like underdog stories. We got the younger, faster David Ali taking on the much larger Zodiac the Mystic. I know the crowd was not enthused with the DQ finish. And you know, obviously the ref's biased for the rules. And you know, has the right to call this qualification, which he should have. It didn't break at five. However, consequences, those sorts of consequences, I think, are refreshing in wrestling because they just don't happen enough. Like, as much as I rattle on against the refs, part of it is just because they don't properly enforce the rules. That the rules are just there as convenient plot devices. And so, like, you know, you brawl outside the ring, the ref stops, like, every three to be like, get back in the ring! Whatever, man, just count me out. That, you know, if you really wanted him to get back in the ring, you would count them out, because maybe, you know, this is a sport. I don't know, that's a novel thought. Professional wrestling as a sports presentation. Who would have thought? But, you know, there's, like, no consequences for breaking the rules or bending them or taking your sweet time to do something. You know, because the ref, like, likes to take so much time to warn the aggressor rather than actively do something about it. So therefore the DQ finish can be considered a letdown. But, like, for me, like, I'm down for it, man. I really am, because you don't see this. You don't see the ref properly enforcing the rules. You, again, usually just, hey, stop that. Two, hey, get him out of the corner. Three, you know, taking a break and to just to let the opponents, like, do more damage. I know, that's my old man talking. That's my inner Jim Ross. But, like, there's a space for it if we train our fans to do it. You know, I think it's like that's the problem with professional wrestling at times is that we've become kind of a video game. And so seeing, you know, actual consequences for rule discrepancies is kind of refreshing. But I'm done yelling at the clouds. Let's move on. We have a Dragons promo. The dragons in this iteration are Dale Patricks and Josh Crane. They are the global tag crown owners, and according to their promo, they're going to keep that that title here tonight. They are having a match. They are defending that global tag crown against the team of Sean Kemp. Unfortunately, not that Sean Kemp. If you're an old man like me who used to watch the NBA back in the mid-90s, it's some other dude named Sean Kemp. And Chase Holiday. Chase Holiday is a dude I have lost track of. He used to wrestle in, you know, West Central Illinois, Black and the Brave graduate, and I kind of wondered what happened to him. I even, like, referenced this in my review of SCW Pro Epic 2018, where I'm like, I wonder whatever happened to that guy. So check out that video if you wanted me to, like, lose track of people. But Chase is still working the grind, man. He is teaming up with Sean Kemp, not that Sean Kemp, and looking to get a tag team title shot here tonight. Things break down in this match right away. We are just instantly just throwing each other around. All four gentlemen are in the ring. The dragons, though, manage to finally take control and isolate Chase Holiday. Lots of tandem offense. Crane doing most of the work inside the ring. This is solid old school tag team wrestling by the dragons. They're cutting off the ring, tandem offense, quick tags, not letting their opponent get anywhere near the corner until it is time. And when it is time, Cassidy launches Crane with an exploder suplex into the ring corner, the turnbuckles, if you will, and gets the hot tag. Kemp is in House of Fire, slam dunking the competition. Hither and yarn, splashes and clotheslines and chops in the corner. Get an assisted powerbomb for two. Kemp is using Crane as a weapon before delivering a DVD for two. However, the dragons finally get their bearings back, take control again. We have a strike and knee shot combo in the ring on Cassidy. Luckily, Kemp is there to make the save. Finally, like, we're getting ready to wind things up with a tandem strike battle. All four guys are just trading shots back and forth. Booyah, spirit battle style. However, Kemp spears, tackles one of the dragons outside the ring, allowing some chicanery to happen inside the ring, which the dragons take advantage of. Double choke slam on Holiday, gets the three count. Your winners, and still, Wrestle Arts Global Tag Crown Champions, the Dragons. And this is, like, a very old-school presentation while providing modern, hard-hitting action. The Dragons showed excellent tag team awareness. Like, obviously, they have wrestled for quite some time, and quite some time together in various forms, you know, and showed that ring awareness. Again, cutting off the ring, quick tags, you know, just smothering their opponents until it was time to, well, get the hot tag, like I said before. Holiday and Kemp showed a nice bit of fire. Got a couple of nice little hope spots going on there. But it just wasn't enough at the end. So, like, a fun match as well. But we're not technically done yet. We go outside the arena, and there is a wounded Hoodfoot. Zodiac is dead to him. Zodiac just cast him aside, and now Hoodfoot hates the Zodiac. Says the word hate so many times that you'd be dead if you turned it into a drinking game. Notes that it's on site now, so they're going to be battling on site, and it's blood or nothing, Zodiac, so you better watch yourself. He's coming for you. We do get our disembodied voice to end the show with next week's card, which I didn't happen to write down for that. However, I will say, as the show ends, like, it was a fun show, so it's free on YouTube. This episode was episode 27 of Battle Arts Unleashed, so check that out. It was a lot of fun. Get yourself familiar with the product, too. Like, maybe that'll make you enjoy it a bit more. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but, you know, always having a background of where storylines are going is a good thing as you watch professional wrestling, and I will have to do that myself. But in the meanwhile, I got to end this podcast to do it. So now is a good time as any. Thank you all for listening. Check out Battle Arts, the wrestling, you know, charity, the wrestling organization that's giving back to the local community. So check them out. Give them some support, at least at least if you can't be there in Indy, in terms of YouTube views and all that sort of good stuff. So speaking of helping out, you know, stay tuned, listen to the plugs and all the things, crazy things I am up to. Check out SCW Pro, which MLW Confusion is conveniently sponsoring. They're on the YouTubes every other week, plus like almost every other week they're in either Iowa City or Bluegrass, Iowa. At the time of this recording, tomorrow night they will be in Bluegrass, Iowa, for 316 day. What? Yeah, we're running that joke into the ground. I'll see you out in Bluegrass, so check out, come hang with me, we'll make fun of the one called Manders together. I don't think he's scheduled to appear, but, you know, sometimes he shows up for SCW Pro. We gotta let him know that both him and his doppelganger are ne'er-do-wells. So, in the meanwhile, check out the plugs, all that sort of good stuff, check out the Urban Wrestling guys. In the meanwhile, I'll see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, where as for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, at comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.